I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and if you would find verse 44. Would to God we would all learn to walk with Christ day by day and with each passing moment. Too many Christians are only walking with Him maybe once a week, and that's about it. But every moment of every day we need Him. John 12, verse 44, if you'd find that, and stand with me, please. I want to speak to you tonight about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 12, 44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believeth not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we're so thankful for your grace, for your mercy, for your wonderful love. In Christ our Savior, I pray, Lord, that everyone here, everyone watching, everyone who hears this message is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if they're not, that even now, as we spend time in your word, that they would hear and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, help us to trust in you with all our hearts. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love for us. And I pray that by your love and by your grace and by your spirit, we would love and live for you. Please help us to be true followers of Jesus, making followers of Jesus by your power. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In verse 44, Jesus cried and said. Now, you'll remember that Jesus has just told us about those of the chief rulers. Many believed on him, but there were some that didn't confess him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, some Bible scholars would say that what Jesus says next is at a different account and that he had gone away and come back again. Here at the last time, at the end of Jesus' public ministry, he goes in and out of Jerusalem many times here in these last days leading up to the time that he would go to the cross. I don't know exactly whether he was there with the same group of people or he had gone out to just his disciples, but I want you to notice the passion here as Jesus cries out and says these words, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." I want to ask you a question tonight. When you consider all of the reasons that you're here tonight, all the reasons that maybe you would tune in to watch a Sunday night message, all the reasons that you would pray and that you would study your Bible, I wonder what is it that's at the root of it. You know, a lot of us have grown up in church, and we go to church because that's what we're supposed to do. And maybe some of us, we've been saved, and we go to church because we're really glad that we're saved, and we love Jesus, and we want to worship him. And still others are just here because your parents made you be here. And all the kids said, listen, we want to get to a place, but what is it that drives us? What is it that is at the desire, at the heart of it, at the baseline of it all? I was thinking during the song service about a couple of psalms. Most of you are familiar with Psalm 23, aren't you? You know, when I was growing up, I thought that was a really sad psalm because I only heard it at funerals, and funerals are sad. But as I began to study the Bible, I figured out that Psalm 23 is not sad at all. Psalm 23 is full of joy. And he says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The desire of the psalmist, the man after God's own heart, David said, my desire is to live with God forever. His desire was to see God. His desire was to know God. If you look just a couple of Psalms over, Psalm 27 and verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. David had a desire to know God the Father. He wanted to see him. He wanted to experience his presence. He wanted to abide in him. He wanted to know him. And I believe that anybody in Jerusalem, anybody in Israel, any of the people of God, any of the proselytes who became Jews to follow after the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, at the heart of it all was they had a desire to know God. They had a desire to live with God. They had a desire to be in the presence of God. And I just wonder sometimes if we've missed that. But this was the heart of these people that Jesus was preaching to, that he wanted them to get. When you believe on me, you're not just believing on me, but you're believing on him that sent me. When you see me, you're not just seeing me, you're seeing God the Father. And listen, at the heart of it all, friends, we ought to have a desire to know God. We had a desire to be close to God. Our desire would be to see him and to know him. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on in verse 9 in John 14. He says, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Philip was the first disciple on record to be called of Jesus. Jesus went to him and found him and said, follow me. And after all this time with Jesus, he says, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied, Lord. And Jesus is incredulous. He says, Philip, you've been with me all this time. And how can you say, show us the Father? Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what I want you to understand that our God, we know there's one God. He's in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know maybe some of you would like for me to explain that and to tell you exactly how the Trinity works. I can't do that. Maybe you'll find somebody who can someday, or maybe you've got it figured out and you understand it. But I just am satisfied with the fact that God's bigger than I can understand. Amen. And if he ever was down to a level that I could understand, then that's probably not the God of the Bible. He's bigger than we can understand. He's beyond our understanding, and we know that. But we need to get this. The heart of the Jew, the heart of the Israelite, was to know God. They wanted to know the God who called out Abraham and Abraham followed. They wanted to know the God of Isaac and of Jacob. They wanted to know the God who fulfilled all of his promises in Isaac and in Jacob. And they wanted to know him. And Jesus says, listen, you're believing on me, and that's great. You need to understand, when you believe on me, you're believing on the Father. When you see me, you've seen the Father. Amen. And if you want to know God, then get to know Jesus. Amen. If you want to be with God, then believe on Jesus. Amen. Believing on Jesus allows us to see the Father. And I seriously doubt that any of us, that hits us as hard as it should, but we're talking about the Creator God of the universe. We're talking about the one who breathes out stars. We're talking about the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. The God who knows the very numbers of the hairs on your head. The one who calls all the stars in the heavens by name. The one who has all things appointed in their season. The one who, by the word of his power, holds everything in the universe together. That God, you can know him, but you can't know him unless you believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. You must believe on him. He that believeth on me, he that sees me, has seen him that sent me. So you can see the Father when you believe on Jesus. Then notice, when you believe on him, you can live in the light. He goes on and says in verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now we can look to the Old Testament that God was going to send a light into the world. He was going to send a light to the Gentiles. Those who sat in darkness would see a great light. We can see all the scriptures about it in John 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus says in John 8, 12, he cries out, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John 12, 35, not that long ago we saw, yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Listen, I want you to understand that this world lies in darkness. And the children of men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The whole world is in darkness today. Spiritually, the world is dark. The world is black. The world has no hope. They're without God and without hope in the world. And friends, we would do well. Some of you need to remember that that's where you were not that long ago. Amen. You were in that darkness. But when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And if you don't understand that his light is marvelous, if you don't understand that it's glorious tonight, then you just need to open your Bible and look and see. You need to lift up your eyes and look at how dark the world is and then realize the light that God has given you, the truth that God has given you, the life that God has given you. And he did that not because you're so good, not because you're a real fine missionary Baptist or anything else, but it's because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about him, and it's about faith in him. I just don't know, friends, that we realize how dark it is in the world. I don't know that we realize how dark it is most of the time. You see, we kind of get accustomed to the light level that we're in. We got some good lighting in here, and it's not too bad, but I promise you, if you walk outside right now, it's brighter out there, and it'll hurt your eyes. I promise you tonight, if you have to get up in the middle of the night to make a visit to the restroom and you don't bother turn on any lights, your eyes will be adjusted to that darkness to a certain degree. You'll be accustomed to it. And if you happen to flip on the light, it'll hurt your eyes. Listen, we get accustomed to the darkness. We love darkness in our sinfulness and in our flesh. And God says, I want you to come out of that darkness and into my light. Believe in the light while you have the light. We have an opportunity every time that we hear the gospel to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to come out of the darkness of this world and to come into his marvelous light. We have an opportunity to be moved from death to life, but that opportunity is limited for every one of us, and we don't know exactly how long we have. And I just want to plead with you tonight, if you're in this room and you've not stepped out of the darkness, you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in darkness, and you are right now without God and without hope. You are dead in your trespasses and sins, but Jesus died for you. He rose again, and he offers you life and light if you believe on him. Amen. If you're in this room, if you're watching, wherever you're at, listen, you can repent. You can put your trust in Jesus. He loves you, and he died for you. And believing on him isn't just a mental assent to say, yeah, I believe there was a man named Jesus. I believe the Romans killed him. No, but you're believing that he is who he says he is. You're believing that he is Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one of God, the one promised from the very beginning of the scriptures when man fell into sin, the one promised to give life, the one promised to conquer the evil one, the one and only one who can give you light. Not only does he give us light to have life and forgiveness, but he gives us light to live by. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus calls us to abide in the light. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus doesn't just give us a flash of light so that we can be saved, but he wants us to stay in the light. He wants us to dwell in the light. He wants us to live our lives in the light of the gospel. I just want to tell you the truth. In my experience, a lot of people who claim to believe in Jesus seem to spend all their time trying to get back into the darkness. He's brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And when we've seen the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't understand. I don't understand why people run back into the darkness. We don't have to go back to the darkness. We don't have to live in that darkness. We don't have to live in that ignorance to the truth of God's word. We don't have to live closed off to his brilliance and his glory and his wonder and his majesty and his love and his goodness and his truth. We don't have to live in that darkness anymore. We can live. We can abide. Don't live in darkness anymore. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't live in darkness anymore, but live in his light and live in his truth. Abide in it and let his light guide you. I know I told you before about the experiment they did on the monarch butterflies years ago. I think it was the National Institute of Health or somebody, but they took a bunch of monarch butterflies. They're trying to figure out how they find their way. Have any of you seen a bunch of those before when they're traveling? It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. One of the biggest, a flock of butterflies, I don't know. Anyway, one of the biggest migrations we saw one time, we were working on my uncle's roof, and while we were up there, we started seeing them, and you just see one here and there, but then we looked up, and as high as we could see, there were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of butterflies. And they weren't like in a wad, they were spread out, but as far as you could see, as high as you could see, there were butterflies. Just, it was amazing. Well, these researchers are trying to figure out how the monarchs find their way to where they go. How do they do it? And so they took these butterflies and they dipped their antennas in some paint. And some of them, they put their antennas in black paint. And some of them, they dipped their antennas in some clear coat. And they tracked them to see what happened. Well, the ones that their antenna couldn't get the light, they got disoriented, they got lost. But the ones that could still sense the light found their way. And I think it's a great illustration. When we put ourselves in the darkness, we're going to lose our way. But when we are sensitive to his light, when we are looking for his light, we are abiding in his light, then we can find the way he would have us to go. You're not going to know the light of God apart from the word of God. And I don't know about you, but I need God's guidance every day, not just on Sundays. Amen. Amen. I don't know how you can claim to be a disciple of Jesus and not be in the Word every day. Amen. I don't understand it. I don't understand how you could say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, I just don't read His Word. Like, that's perplexing to me. Now, I know there's some, and there's some good men that I know. They say, listen, I have a hard time reading, and maybe they had some learning disabilities and didn't get the help they needed when they were coming up, whatever it is. But those men have Bible apps, and they can pull it up and hit a play button. Almost anybody can do that. Amen. And if you can't do that, then call me, and I'll come push play for you. I'm just telling you, in our world today, we really are without excuse. I told you before about the man who was tragically injured and he didn't have the ability to see anymore, and he didn't have the ability to read Braille with his fingers anymore, so he read his Bible with the Braille by using his tongue. He had a desire to read the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. He wanted to know the God of the Word, and there was nothing that was going to stop him. He was going to find a way. And we say, well, I'm too busy. Friends, I don't know what to tell you. That's the lamest excuse I've ever heard. If you're too busy to read your Bible, then you're too busy. Amen. Get rid of something else. But I'm just going to tell you, I ain't buying it anyway, because most of the people who say they're too busy to read their Bible have plenty of time to watch TV. They got plenty of time to scroll through Facebook. And I promise you, your day would be better if you would shut down the TV and the Facebook and open up God's book. Amen. And everybody who's around you, their day would be better too. Amen. Sometimes, my wife loves me. I mean, she always loves me. But sometimes she loves me enough to ask me really good questions like, what is wrong with you? Somebody ever ask you that? If somebody loves you, they'll ask you that. Like, you know, as if to say, what is your problem? Why are you so grumpy? And that usually comes because I've been scrolling through Facebook and read some nonsense. Or I read the news and I read some nonsense and it gets me right here. Anybody else get that? You know what I need to do when I'm like that? Well, first of all, I say I'm sorry. Anybody ever have to say that to their family? I'm sorry. You were right. Please forgive me. Words to live by. I'm just trying to be helpful. And then I need to turn all that junk off, and I need to open my Bible. Amen. I'm amazed at how much better my heart and attitude is when I've read some Psalms. Man, you read everything, all of it's good, but man, when your heart's in a wrong place, you read some Psalms, it'll change your heart. Amen. We can't live in the light apart from the Word of God. This is what illuminates us. It's His Word. Amen. How you know? Well, look at the next thing. When we believe on Jesus, we see the Father. When we believe on Jesus, we live in the light. And the last thing is, when we believe on Jesus, we're prepared for the judgment. Amen. We're prepared for the judgment. In verse 47, he said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Now, some of you read that and you go, wait a minute. I thought God gave all judgment. The Father gave all judgment to the Son. Well, hang with me for a second. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Amen. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, you might say this is semantics. You might say splitting hairs, whatever, however you want to say it. But at the end of the day, Jesus came the first time not to judge, but to save. Jesus came the first time not as the judge of the universe, but he came the first time to take your judgment and my judgment and the judgment of the whole world. He came to take our judgment on himself. Amen. He came the first time to save us by taking our judgment on himself. Now, he will come again and execute judgment on all those who do not believe. Amen. And when you reject him and you reject his word, His word will judge you in the last day. The very words that he's speaking here, the very words that he spoke to those that were gathered there that day, those words that either they believed and they would not be judged, or they rejected, and those very words will judge them in the last day. And the same thing's true for you tonight. You believe on him and you're prepared for judgment. If you reject him, you will not be prepared for judgment. He says, for I am not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I want to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5 and verse 19. John 5, 19. When you believe on Jesus, you are prepared for judgment. And he says, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. But listen, you will be judged in the last day if you don't receive my word. If you reject me, you will be judged by the word in the last day. Now, John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now there's a lot here, but just a few highlights real quick. I want you to get this. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And listen, Jesus explained it in a way that maybe would help us understand, but he gives a distinction between what he's doing and what the Father did, because he came to be the Savior. That second part of the Trinity, the Son, he came to be the Savior. And he said, I came to do, and everything that I do is of the Father, because I and the Father are one, he says. Now, he has judgment to do what the Father has sent him to do. The Father can raise up the dead and make them alive, quicken them. Verse 21, the Son quickens whom he will. Now, who is it that the Son chooses to give life to? Well, verse 24 lays it out. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He said back in our text, my Father's commandment is life everlasting. When you believe on the Son of God, when you believe on the Father that sent him, and you see, you can't separate that. If you believe in Jesus Christ of the Bible, then you have to believe that he is the God of the Bible. And you believe in God the Father, you believe in the Son, you believe in the Son, you believe in the Father. When you see the Son, you've seen the Father. And he says, when you believe in me, you have right now everlasting life, and you will not come into condemnation, but you are passed from death unto life. There are a lot of people that we try to share the gospel with. We try to give them the good news of the gospel. And I think there are a lot of people who think they're too far gone. I think there are a lot of people who think they're just too bad. I think there are a lot of people that think they're unsavable. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus can take away your sins. Amen. You can be forgiven. And there are a lot of people who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they've messed up, and they think there's no hope for them. They think that it's too late for them. They think that they've lost whatever life God has given them. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus says when you believe on him, you have everlasting life. And he says, you will not, you shall not in the future come into condemnation. He took your condemnation. He took your shame. He took the judgment. He didn't come to judge at that time. He came to take your judgment on himself. And you, when you believe on him, you have everlasting life. And you will not ever come into condemnation. It's not dependent on you. It's already been determined by faith in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you'll be saved forever and ever, because he takes you from death to life. The time is now that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Amen. This is twofold. I am persuaded this is twofold. One, those that were in the grave would hear his voice and they would rise up. It happened when Jesus died. It happened when he was resurrected. There were those saints that came out of the grave at that time. It's going to happen in the future when he comes again. He's going to call the saints out of the grave. But I think it's more than that, friends. Because did you not hear his voice when you were dead? Did you not hear him call your name? Did you not hear him call you to believe and live? Because if you're alive in Christ tonight, it's because you heard him call. You believed, and now you live. Believe. Believe. He didn't come to judge the first time, but judgment is coming. I am fearful for those who are not fearful of God. I tremble for those who do not tremble at the wrath of God. And there are people around us every day who do not tremble at the wrath of God. But friends, judgment is coming. And if you reject the one who took your punishment on himself so that you could be saved, if you reject him, if you reject his word, if you receive not his words, the word that you reject will judge you at the last day. And the word is this: everlasting life to all who believe, and everlasting damnation to those who do not believe. Amen. You can be saved tonight. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trust in him as your Savior. And I don't know, friends, I want to preach the gospel clearly. I want to make it where people can understand it. I think sometimes we've made it so hard and so difficult and so convoluted, and it's not complicated. It's not convoluted at all. It's with the faith of a child. You believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. You believe that he died to pay for your sins and rose again. That's the gospel. It's his death and resurrection. Amen. When you recognize, you change your mind about who he is and you believe on him, trust in him with all your heart. If you've never been saved, you can be saved. And if you are saved, I just want to ask you tonight, just honest assessment. While our musicians come, while we stand together, would you just make an honest assessment of your heart tonight? Hey, it's Sunday night. It's a good night to do business with Jesus. The Word of God has been preached. The Word of God has been opened. It's a good time to do business with God tonight. I just want you to honestly look in your heart tonight. Can you do that? Are you abiding in the light, or are you still visiting the darkness? Are you abiding in the light, or are you abiding in the darkness? That's my question for you tonight. If you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't stay in the darkness. He said if you believe on him, you won't abide in darkness. You can't live there anymore. Stop taking vacations there. You don't belong there anymore. Come out of the darkness and live, abide, dwell, continue, stay in the light every day. And if you've been going back to the darkness, if you've been staying there, visiting there, whatever, it's time to come out. It's time to come into the light and stay there. Maybe there's some things you need to get right with the Lord tonight. If he's convicting your heart, trust in him. If he's convicting your heart, believe on him. If he's convicting your heart, you get right with him right now while we sing.